I'm Ingrid Delamar Kenny. I'm the CEO and founder of The Method.
She's also my wife, and she's the smartest woman I've ever met.
First of all, she's my mom, and she's really cool.
She's all that, and she's a superhero.
Never mind CEO, she's gangster.
This is the Pardon My French podcast.
On this episode, you'll hear about wellness, fitness, Frenchology, and lifestyle, a très fucking chic gangster podcast. Hosted by fitness and wellness French hedonism guru and creator of The Method, The Body, yours truly, Ingrid Delamar Kenny, live from Monte Carlo, Monaco. On this show, you'll find a mix of audio entertainment, including listener and audience questions, answered about health, wellness, lifestyle, family, and relationships, and my French holistic tips to be healthy, have your best body, and transform both your body and your mindset into the happiest ever, as well as living la belle vie lifestyle like a chic French gangster.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Pardon My French, episode 5. I am your host, Ingrid Delamar Kenny, live from beautiful Monaco. I have to first of all thank you guys. I guess I'm kind of like a tech idiot. I had not noticed that you guys had left so many incredible ratings on the podcast. And I am like a little girl on Christmas Day. I am so excited reading some of your reviews. So I need to send a shout out to a few of you. Boss Gangster is the title of your reviews by Treats for the Face, Veronica. She wrote, "My darling Ingrid is so informative about what to eat, exercise tips with her method. I've been following her for 6 months and she is a true gem. Thank you so, so much. I am so freaking humbled that you guys even take an hour or even like a minute out of your day to listen to my podcast. I never thought that I would get so much support and love from you guys and that you would find value in what I have to say, but I am thrilled and I'm definitely doing my best to give it my all." The other review that I pulled out is by Wag Wags, and she says, "So good, enjoyed listening. Can you write a cookbook?" Yes, Wag Wags. Actually, I'm writing a wellness book. I've signed a deal with a literary agent. Shout out to her, Dana. And we're working on it right now. She's actually pressuring me to get working a little bit more. I need to find the time to finish some of my chapters. And we have decided to include something like 10 to 15 pages of recipes. So cookbook kind is on its way and hopefully will be on shelves sometime soon. Another one is Texas Real Estate Gal, and she wrote, "You'll fall in love. What a fun podcast. If you know this beauty story and how amazing she truly is, you'll be dying for each new podcast. She's a gem in the world and I'm so thankful she's sharing with us." I am so thankful for people like you, Texas Real Estate Gal. I feel so humbled. Again, I can't find another word that you even think that way about my story, what I have to say, and following me. And I really am working my hardest to make it worth your time, the time that you take and devote to listen to me, watch my stories, write me those incredibly supportive messages. I'm trying to do my very best to give you incredible content, valuable content, and a different outlook on life that can possibly make it better. So I am thrilled with your reviews, and for all other that left those 58 ratings and reviews, I thank you so, so much. The support is everything to me. It gives me wings. It makes my job no longer a job, but a labor of love and a passion. So I want to thank you for that, and I wouldn't be here without you guys. So thank you. So now that I got my shout outs and gave thank yous where they are owed, let me talk to you about juicing. I announced that I would be talking about juicing because it has been for a long time such a big thing, and it is something that I feel it's time I speak up about. If you follow me on Instagram, and I know most of you do, you know I am so against juicing. You know that I've spoken up about celery juice in my previous podcast. And now I think I need to kind of be more specific about juices in general. I've explained that, for example, when it comes to celery juice, oh, you guys should know, I've been attacked by the celery juice patrol. My speaking up about celery juice was like a huge thing. Some people got very angry with me and said, well, did you read this book by such and such doctor? He totally healed my I don't know what, like whatever condition. And I actually never said celery is not good for you. I think celery is an incredible thing for the gut. But what I'm saying is that the reason why with celery juice, you may feel like it's doing good for your gut is because you're getting 0.2% of the benefits of celery. Because as you know, when you pulverize a fruit or a veggie, you're pretty much taking out all of the nutrients, the fiber. You're taking out everything that you actually need. And so, yeah, maybe 0.2% of the benefits are left. So you never consume celery. So the fact that you're consuming celery juice, your little body's getting super happy. Like, yeah, 0.2% of whatever is good in celery. Yeah. But if you actually read between the lines and listen between the lines of what I said about celery juice, I wasn't going on a vendetta against celery juice. You would have understood that I'm saying eat the whole celery. And don't eat it raw because it's a cruciferous vegetable, and that's going to bring your cortisol up because, you know, digesting it is difficult. So cook it. Cook it just enough for it to become soft, but not too much so it stays green, vibrant, and you don't lose all the nutrients and antioxidants and fiber that's in it. So that's what I have to say about celery juice. And so let's talk about juicing fruit and vegetables in general. It is stupid. I'm not calling you stupid if you're a juicer. I am saying juicing fruits and vegetables as a healthy step in your life is stupid. Juicing removes the two biggest benefits of eating fruits and vegetables, and that's the fiber and the antioxidants. So essentially, it's leaving you with a nutrient supplement bathing in glucose. Glucose is sugar. In French, we call it glucides. And fructose, which is not any good to you if it's not paired up with the fiber and antioxidants. So technically, when you are pulverizing your veggies and your fruits, you are stripping it out of whatever is good for you. And you think you're doing something great, and that's a mental thing. Of course, juicing is better than having a freaking brownie or pancake in the morning. But if we go in a comparison kind of mentality, then we never make it. It's the same with everything. It's the same with ambition. Why compare your success to the next guy to make yourself look successful? There's some bitch out there that's selling a diet protein powder that has fiber in it. And she thought that shooting down inulin would make her fucking powder look better. It just made her look like an asshole. It's a little bit the same with juicing. You know, comparing it to I could be eating a brownie or a pancake, so juicing is the better option, makes you an asshole too. So success of anything, business, branding, product selling, or dieting, or eating healthy. The process of comparison is a stupid process. Saying I'm going to eat this instead of that, so that makes it a better choice, is stupid. That's stripping you away from your intuition. I have a little bit more to say about a few aspects of juicing. And today, I'm going to talk to you about another hormone. So far, I've been talking about cortisol. So yeah, I spoke to you about cortisol. I spoke to you about your ghrelin hormone, which is your hunger hormone. And we can't go without this whole equation, although I hate equations, so let's not call it an equation, but hormones, without talking about your leptin hormone. And the reason why I'm choosing to talk about your leptin hormone, and I'll explain what it is right now, it's going to make so much sense to you, is because when you're juicing, you're actually affecting your leptin hormone in such a way that you're affecting your cortisol levels, in such a way that you're creating insulin resistance, in such a way that insulin resistance causes fat storage and a heavier midsection that you would want. So I'll explain now. Your leptin hormone, which comes from the Greek word leptos, which means thin, incidentally, is the hormone that is your satiation hormone. And what that means is that's the hormone that neurologically sends signals to your brains that you are satiated. So very often, there are so many factors that come into play when it comes to your neurons getting this signal. Oh yeah, Ingrid is satiated now. How do you get this signal? Well, most of us will associate that with the quantity of food that we put into our bodies and the expenditure of our stomach. And actually, I want to talk about that, the size of, you know, the stomach and why people get the, you know, bypass surgery to shrink their stomach so they eat less. But let's just put that aside for a second and talk about leptin. So satiation is not all about the quantity of food that you eat, and it's certainly not about all those fucking equations of calorie, carbs, and fiber, and minus and plus and the square root of bullshit, as I always say. It's actually taking into consideration many other things, like the smell of your food, the presentation of your food, and the chewing. Chewing has a big role in your satiation going into effect. So when you're juicing or you're smoothie, you're actually taking that away from yourself. You're taking away the whole chewing part and the whole visual of looking at real food, not a pulverized juice. As a matter of fact, in France, a juice could never ever be a meal replacement. Neither would a smoothie. Those are the juices that usually are considered alternatives for children when the parents are drinking alcohol at a cafe or at a restaurant. It's like, yeah, the kids will have a juice and the parents will have their wine or their cocktail or their champagne. But never ever does anybody say, oh, you know what? Let me have a smoothie. Let me have a shake. Let me have a juice so I can skip lunch. That is an aberration here in France. And rightfully so, because a juice is literally a sweet treat that has no nutritional value whatsoever in a French person's brain. And I completely agree with that. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. If you are taking a juice or a smoothie and you're adding a protein powder in it, and I don't care if you're adding inulin as your fiber or you're taking a protein powder that has fiber in it. At the end of the day, what are you doing? Who are you trying to trick? Your body? Into believing it's getting a full meal? Taking that as your breakfast is bullshitting your body. And you can't bullshit the body. You can bullshit people around you, showing them your cute little smoothie on Instagram, but you can't bullshit your body. it's not going to keep you happy and satiated until 1 p.m. And if it does, it's in the worst way possible. And I'll explain why. You need to chew your food. So not only do you need to be a little bit more French and chew your food slowly, but you need to actually have the experience of chewing so that the right neurological signals can be sent to your leptin hormone. Not to be confused with lectin, that's a completely different thing. Leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N. My mom always said, you need to identify the enemy to fight it. Now, I don't want you to look at your hormones as your enemy, but you definitely need to stop looking at food as your enemy, because we've identified our food in every way, shape, or form or fucking equation that we could, and identified it has not helped us a bit. Because at the end of the day, it's not really the food that's the issue. It's the factors that are inside your body and their reaction to food. And how you entice those reactions, how you send those signals to those hormones and those functions in your body, that matters. So when you think about leptin, your satiation hormone, you need to, first of all, be looking at the real fruit or the real vegetable, the shape of the fruit, the way you look at its color, the way that it's titillating your senses, your visual, the smell, because like juices don't have a smell, but a fruit has a smell. When I eat my blackberries in the morning, the minute I take a bite of a strawberry or a blackberry and I smell it, or even a peach or an apricot, I smell it. But the minute you make a smoothie out of it or a juice or a shake, it has no smell except for the fucking powder you put in it. Whatever powder, like those protein powders, I hate them. They're full of shit. They're full of gum. They're full of that compound that keeps the whole thing from dismantling into little particles. And then you're putting that through your esophagus, which can create some intestinal obstructions. And it's known for that. You can go check it on the internet. All these xanthan gum and guar gums, and even if they deem natural, you have to be careful that you don't consume them too much on a daily basis every day, because at the end of the day, it's called a gum. Just the word itself is not right. It makes me think of chewing gum. I don't want that going down my intestinal tract and esophagus. I would be scared it would stick around, because that's what gum does. And so when you're trying to add your collagen also to your juices and stuff like that, I'm not so sure that you realizing that you're only kind of negotiating with your body for a little bit because you read the labels of those collagen peptides or that protein powder you're adding, even inulin. I never want you to use inulin in anything as a meal replacement. I don't like meal replacements. Juicing is one of those things that not only is stupid, but it's going against everything that I believe in when it comes to negotiating kindly with your hormones. You're stripping away the experience of chewing. You're stripping away the experience of smelling. You're stripping away the experience, the visual experience of looking at a meaty, beautiful, colorful fruit. And at the end of the day, you're putting down in your digestive system glucose and fructose stripped away from all of the right nutrients, antioxidants, and fiber. So it's like, instead of a win-win, this is a lose-lose. It's kind of a no-brainer. But I understand that people fall for it. It's been a trend in the States for a really long time. And it also seems like such a time-efficient thing to do, to just take everything, mush everything, because you're thinking it would be mushed into your body anyways, and you know, bypass a preparation of anything. But if you think French, at the end of the day, it's about not being lazy with preparing, not being lazy with your body. Nothing comes easy. Juicing is too easy. It's too easy. You need to look down at your plate and see something appealing for your leptin hormone to send the right signals to your brain, for you to feel satiated. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. So it was important that you meet Mrs. Leptin. Leptin, if you should know, was the first fat cell-derived hormone to be discovered ever. And I am so surprised that it's never spoken about by nutritionists and dietitians. They're so fast at talking to you about BRM or whatever, body weight, whatever, body mass, something, macros, calories, carbs, fiber minus the square root of bullshit. But they never talk to you about the leptin receptor. And I'm thinking that is so wrong. Because if you only knew how the leptin receptors worked, you would realize that diet goes against everything that makes your body function right and in the right body weight direction. So you have to realize that the leptin goes back to your brain. And that's important to me. This is why I speak so much of your hormones, because it's a region of the brain known to regulate the sensation of hunger and body weight. And to me, that's important because if you know anything about the method, or if you've gone on the methodmc.com, which is the method website, you will see the method as a very small logo. And the biggest logo that you will find on the website is the mind controls the body. Thanks very much, Joe Pilates. He had figured it out over 100 years ago when it came to fitness. I realize as a French person, putting two and two together, that's the only addition I'm capable of, that it is very much the same when it comes to nutrition. And while diet is about deducting, the French mind is all about adding. And so putting two and two together, if your leptin hormone, your satiation hormone, is a gene, something that genetically belongs in a region of the brain which regulates your sensation of hunger and body weight, then technically, instead of going on a diet, instead of journaling your food intake, God fucking forbid, then what you might want to be doing is changing your mindset. And instinctively and intuitively, that's what the French do. Very often, they probably don't even know about the leptin hormone, but that's very much what they attend to. Because if you look at the presentation of food and the signals that they send to their brain by the quantity of food on a plate, they're telling their mind, this is going to be enough food for you. Whereas in the States, nobody talks about leptin. Dietitians and nutritionists are all about, oh, now it's the new trend. You're on a diet, but you're not really deprived because you're eating all of that amazing stuff and a lot of it, a lot. That's so fucking wrong. Because the more you tell your body, it should be eating a lot. So here, eat a lot of this, which, you know, is not carb rich or has less carbs or is carb free. Anytime you go and tell your body about quantity, all the body wants to do is expand. So when you tell your mind, you know what? You're going to need to look at something pretty in your plate a small quantity that makes the plate look nice, because anytime you build up food on your plate, or you stack up food on your plate, or you eat a huge omelet and you don't leave room for anything else on the plate, not even a small salad. Anytime you say that to the brain goes more, 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 and the body goes more, more, more. And that's where you go and wake up that ghrelin hormone, which is your hunger hormone. And to me, that all makes sense, because in France, without even talking ghrelin and leptin, it actually is really practiced this way. And you don't see anybody going hungry. I've never seen a French person finishing a meal, even with the small portions that they serve, and going for the bread. People usually go for the bread when they sit down and they're waiting for the food to be served. So that tells you something. The brain receptors of a French person in France are triggered completely differently from the brain receptors, the leptin receptors, neurological receptors of an American person. And that's because of mindset. That's because of mindset and constantly relying on a diet handbook, on a new diet, on juicing. It all goes back to that. Because originally I was talking about juicing and you may think I got sidetracked, but I didn't. It's just all related. At the end of the day, to have the right neurological messages sent into your body, and to prevent insulin resistance, and to prevent the stress that this causes your body when there's a lack thereof of the right signals. So chewing, smelling, looking at the shape of a fruit or a vegetable rather than a mushed, pureed smoothie or juice or shake. Anytime there's a lack, this is when the ghrelin hormone wakes up, your cortisol level shoots up, and insulin resistance happens, and fat starts to be stored. So obviously, the discounting of calories and carbs and adding fiber minus carbs, I speak about this all the time, has failed to fight obesity as an epidemic. So I think that you need to rethink what thin is about. There's so many myths to weight loss, and I mean, they're raging out there. People still think, you know what, then if it's not about, it's not a carb deducting diet, great, genius. It's not a calorie counting diet. Okay, genius. It's still not going to do it, because it's still called a fucking diet. And that alone is not working. It's not working. You're feeding your body a juice, thinking you're doing a cleanse. And let me ask you a question. When you're juicing, it is a fact. Check it on the internet. Ask your doctor. Ask your dietitian and nutritionist if they're not a liar. They'll tell you, when you pulverize your fruit or your vegetable, you strip it of its nutrients. So all you're left with is the glucose and the fructose. I repeated this 3 times. I'm sure that you got the point by now. Probably hate me for repeating it. But if you're putting down your digestive system, glucose and fructose as a whole, without the fiber, and without the antioxidants, you're definitely not feeding your body right. And you're definitely stressing your digestive system out. Because anytime your digestive system is put through the test of glucose on its own, without any fiber to flush it out, your digestive system gets stressed out. And you know what happens when your digestive system gets stressed out? Your cortisol levels go up. And you know what happens when your cortisol level goes up? You're creating insulin resistance. Very much like people that have type 2 diabetes. And what happens when that happens? Your midsection expands. and stores fat. So you have a fat storage around your midsection. That should not be ignored. It's definitely something to think about. And amputating yourself of the experience of smelling a fruit, because let's get this right. When you're pulverizing a fruit or a veggie, the smell subsides. You lose the smell. So pulverizing amputates you of smelling, seeing the appeal of the fruit of the vegetable, because we are programmed genetically to respond with pleasure to the sight of vibrant vegetables, round, beautifully round and even fruits, or oval, whatever the case may be, whatever a fruit's supposed to look like, vibrant colors, but in their real shape and form, not in the form of a puree or a juice. Water, liquid, is not appealing to your satiation hormone. It's definitely not appealing to your brains either. I mean, no painter has ever painted a juice. They've always painted fruits, right? There's a reason for that. Why, if you go back in art, ancient art even, these painters were painting fruits, fruit baskets, and not juices? Why don't we have anything in the history of art, that looks like a glass of smoothie? That's because it's not appealing to the neurons. Definitely not appealing to the neurons. So juicing is trading real fruit and fruit juice. It's trading real fruit for fruit juice, sorry. And so that means the glucose is headed straight onto your bloodstreams, and the fructose is headed straight to your liver in excessive quantities. And usually you wouldn't even consume these quantities in their full forms. Because when you're juicing, you're actually consuming more fruit than you would if you were biting into the fruit and chewing the fruit. So now you have excessive quantities of fructose and glucose going to your bloodstreams and your liver. And the risk of that is diabetes, heart disease, and other conditions usually associated with chronically elevated blood sugar and insulin, and insulin resistance. So to add to that, a good amount of the phytonutrients in both fruits and vegetables are lost with the fiber during the process of pulverizing. That is just stupid. That's why I say juicing is stupid. And that's why I say, even if you follow French etiquette itself is a leptin-friendly outlook on things, because it's all about the presentation, the taking time to chew, the color of the fruit and the vegetable. Like in France, when they serve you veggies, they will never serve them the way that they often serve them in the United States. Like I know, for example, Brussels sprouts. If you go to a restaurant that tells you they have a side of veggies and they give you Brussels sprouts, they will burn them and call them crisps. Brussels sprouts crisps. Excuse me, that's carbonized Brussels sprout with no more fiber or anything in it and tasting like fireworks or fire whatever, charcoal. In France, that would never happen. If the veggie looks brown or overcooked, it would not be served, and if it is, it would be sent back. Every single veggie that's served, even in the cafeteria in my kids' schools, are vibrantly cooked. They stay vibrantly green, and you know, the carrots are vibrantly orange. Why is that? Of course, it's for the digestion, but the color. Why is the color of the vegetable so important? Well, that's because of your leptin hormone. That is, so the right sensors, signals are sent to your neurons. The appeal already gives you 60% of the satiation before you've even inhaled the food, or before you've even consumed the food. So imagine if you've already triggered your satiation hormone favorably before you even started swallowing food. Technically, you only need 40% of food to feel satiated. The rest was all about senses, smell, sight, taste, taste buds, chewing. This makes so much sense. So by bypassing eating of manufactured, I want to say, meal replacements, or eating a muffin, even if the muffin is made with coconut flour and sugar-free chocolate. Usually there's stevia and truvia in there, but you know how I feel about that. There's, you know, estrogen mimickers, which fucks with your hormones too. But eating a muffin in the morning, even if it's a diet muffin, or eating a pancake, even if it's a diet pancake, and you've substituted all of the ingredients to be almost carb-free, the problem with that is that you're still bulking up on stuff that doesn't look like real natural food to your leptin hormone. So that's why I always say it's so important that you look at real food, because 60% of that satiation feeling message sent to your brains is what it looks like. And so looking at a piece of bread, carb-free or not, looking at a waffle or a pancake or a muffin, carb-free or not, is not looking at real food. And what's going to happen with that is that your body is going to need a lot of it to make you feel satiated, because you haven't given it that 60% appeal. The body is created to naturally respond with a satiation feeling, a feeling of satiation to real food, real fruits, real vegetables, real protein from nature. I hope this makes sense. It makes so much sense to me. It took me a while to figure out the difference between dieting and not, because I never dieted. It wasn't in my mentality. I wasn't taught to live that way. So it took me a while to realize why dieting doesn't work for so many of us. And that's why, because the mind controls the body at the end, and the hormones are the sensors, are the where the messages sent to your neurological sensors, where they're created. It's in your hormones. It's not in the food that's in the plate. The food that's in the plate is an outside element to it all. Hope this makes sense. I sometimes work so hard at trying to explain things in a way that they would be so simple to understand that then you feel like you know exactly what button to push in your body to set it free from dieting, restriction, punishing it with very difficult exercise. So, yeah, let me say, the only juice I fucking want is a splash of lime in my tequila, and I'll have that with a rim of salt, please, garçon. By the way, I realized that this episode is so boring without Gilles telling us all about his exes. I think we need to bring him back on so we can really grill him some more. I want to answer some of your questions. And many of you had some great ones. So I don't want you to think that if I don't answer your question today, I dismissed it. But we don't want this podcast to be 2 hours long. Already Susan told me that she thought an hour and 30 minutes last time was too long. And if Susan thought it was too long, then it probably was. But let me go on to some of your questions. Somebody asked, how did you come up with the method? What workouts were you doing before? And that was Miss Mid 32. That's a good question. I've answered it before, but I do feel like I get so excited about how important the whole freeing your mind of diet is that I sometimes forget to plug the method and the importance of what the method is, the workout itself. The method was actually something that I created for myself 19 years ago. And I created it. It was kind of like an intuitive process as well. What I used to do before was Pilates, which was mat Pilates, and that was 20 years ago. I went to LA to dress a client because I used to be a fashion stylist, and she was a gorgeous Latina actress who had beautiful curves, but she did tend to yo-yo with her weight. And when I arrived at the Beverly Hills Hotel to dress her, she had dropped a few dress sizes. So she had kept the gorgeous curves, but she had dropped a healthy amount of weight that made her look so beautiful and sculpted. And I was like, wow, what did you do? And she said, I'm doing something called Pilates. And at the time, 20 years ago, no one knew what Pilates was. Yoga was the thing, but Pilates, no one knew. And so I was so intrigued. And I said, well, I want to try. So she took me to the Windsor studio in Santa Monica. And I met with the owner at the time. She was already, you know, like an older woman. Mary Windsor was an older woman. And she said she was an ex-ballet dancer. And that spoke to me because I was an ex-ballet dancer. And I had never found anything except for swimming maybe and still because it gives you the broad shoulders. And but I had never found anything that could give me the same results at what dancing, classical ballet dancing, did for my body. And Mary said, you know what, the Pilates is very close to ballet in the results and the spinal alignment, even more so. And being that I had had scoliosis that had been corrected by the wearing of a brace for 4 years, which was a part of my teenage years that was very traumatic for me, because it's also the reason why I had to stop dancing. One of the reasons why I had to stop dancing. The other one was that I started growing large breasts, and I used to wear a Velcro band around them, trying to hide them from my dancing instructor until she figured it out. I think my mother ratted me out because she was starting to worry about the growth of my breast, you know, them being banded really tight by that Velcro band in an effort to hide the fact that I wasn't flat-chested like I was supposed to be. But the scoliosis played a big part in me quitting ballet. And so when I discovered Pilates in Santa Monica, I started training, and I would go back periodically for workshops because it didn't exist in New York and I lived in New York. And then Pilates started to take over in New York, but I didn't like anything at the time that I could find in the studios. I remember at the time Equinox started a Pilates class, and it was nothing like what I was doing in Santa Monica, which was very much the original Pilates I learned back then. Were very much an homage to Joseph Pilates' method, which is what my method is literally based on, the foundations of Pilates. And then seeing that I didn't live in Santa Monica, and that Mary also went more mainstream. She started to get on infomercials and wanted to sell, you know, her equipments and her methodology, and then she went on to the reformers, and I really didn't like what that was doing for me. I tried with a bunch of equipment, and at first I started with a broomstick. I remember I would take off the brush and work out with a broomstick in my house, and I created my whole method around the foundations of Pilates. I read all of Joseph Pilates' very old books, and on 40 movements that Joseph Pilates had created that I found on his book, and based on what I had learned from original Pilates back in 1998, I created the method intuitively over the course of the last 19 years. And to me, it's still in creation process, because I'm still adding, and I'm still adding to it, because I wanted to continue challenging my own body. And I'm still challenged by the master sessions that I give to clients or that I give on the virtual platform. I'm still feeling it. I'm still feeling the burn. I'm still feeling the challenge of keeping my spinal alignment and working with my body weight. But I created 348 moves that I took a very long time, and it was a huge investment to patent, around what we call now the reformer stick. And on the patent, it's literally a unique movement created around a plexiglass bar with certain resistance bands attached. And that's, you know, the legal patent protection on the movements. And that's how I created the method. And I get carried away talking about it. You guys are probably bored by now. You probably already all know this, because there's a few interviews and articles that I did. And I even wrote an article I actually didn't write the article. My beautiful friend Virgilia, who is also a journalist, wrote this for Hedonist magazine, and then we posted it on the website. So this is a whole history of how I created it, but it didn't come to be the method and to be something. I never had planned on putting the method on the market. That was not my job. I originally went to law school, then I decided not to be a lawyer because I got a great opportunity in the fashion world, and I had an amazing career in fashion. And then I moved on to a little bit of PR and branding. And I was in Monaco at that point. I had left New York, and I realized there was a lack of real fitness here. And I felt like women were all coming to me, all my friends, all the people I was meeting, like, what do you do? You're not 20 years old. How do you have this dancer's body? And I would say, well, I do my own thing. And I would show it to one person and then the other. And one time Sheila and I were engaged, and we weren't even engaged, we were dating. And he said, like, you can't keep showing everyone. Why don't you just open a studio? And I said, well, you know, the movements are patented now, but like, how do I make a business out of this? I'm not an instructor. And so I had to go through all of the, you know, all of the steps to do this. And I opened a studio, and I trained instructors, and I certified them, and I sent them out to work in Monaco. And it became a big thing amongst athletes. And when that happened, when professional athletes and race car drivers that needed to be conditioned, and tennis players that, you know, were playing in Wimbledon, and the Rolex Masters were coming to me to be conditioned, I realized I was onto something. And that's how the method was born. But originally, it was just to be good to my body, just to make sure I never so my spine collapsed back to scoliosis, because it is now perfectly straight. And I attribute part of it to wearing the brace, but most of it to having a very strong core and perfect spinal alignment while working back muscles so deeply. And that's how it was born. So thank you for that question. I know that I might have gone too much into an explanation. I promise I won't again. So I'll always have people refer to this episode when they ask again about the method. I get a lot of questions about skincare. So I got Anna Katarina.h, Nicola Doyle, and Lillian A20 saying, best self-care tips. How do you stay motivated and graceful in anything you do? That was Anna Katerina. And Nicola Doyle and Lillian said, French beauty skincare secrets. What skincare products do you use after a microneedling treatment? And those are great questions, so I'm going to answer them now. The first for Anna Katerina, self-care tips. How to stay motivated and graceful in anything you do. Well, first of all, it is difficult to stay motivated and graceful. And if you do look at my Instagram, I wouldn't be completely authentic if I told you that I'm always dismotivated and graceful. I just post on Instagram when I'm motivated and graceful. And it's not always easy, but I do. And I find that it is pretty much, it has to do with my energy. I decided to have positive energy, and that is a decision. It's a mindset. It's not something that you just have or you're blessed with. You have to decide to have a positive mindset. Now, I have an advantage, which I don't wish on anybody, is that I had a very traumatic year in my life. If you know my story, you know that I was incarcerated for a year, a little bit more than 10 years ago. And coming out of something so, so traumatic, you look at life so differently from everybody else. And so that's my motivation, because having been to hell and back, when I realize that I have the freedom of making my life whatever I want it to be, of making my day, every day when I wake up, beautiful or not. And it is a choice. It's not a freedom that's been taken away from me at this point, whereas it was in the past. Then I already look at things like, you know what? I wake up grateful. So being graceful is about being grateful. And I have to credit that traumatic time in my life for that. I don't know that I would have this gift of being grateful, of gratitude, if I hadn't lived that way. I don't remember being as grateful before that happened to me. And so some people would attribute it to, maturity in the past 10 years. But in my case, yes, of course, maturity. I was in my 30s, now I'm 41. But it has to do with, I have been to hell and back. So I don't wish on all women to go to hell and back to realize how grateful they should be, and thus graceful and motivated. But there's definitely something, someone that's touched you in your life where you could be like, well, you know what? I could be much worse than I am today. And so already that gives me the motivation and the gracefulness in what I do. And as far as self-care tips, I've realized that in order to be good to others, which is now my life mission, I have a job where I'm being good to others. And it is such an honor. It is such a humble task to be good to others and to empower women, to teach them how much power they have on their body, how beautiful they really are, that I owe it to myself to be good to myself first. I always kind of say, you know what, to be good to my kids, to be a great wife, I need to take care of myself. And so the best self-care tip I can give you is to say, to be the best I need to be for my husband, for my job, for my kids, for someone you do good for, or someone you take care of, I need to be good to myself. So for example, I allow myself an hour and a half during lunchtime, or, you know, I like to do it during lunchtime during a work week, because weekends are for my family. And so to be able to do this without guilt, like a guilt-free self-care pleasure, I take on my own time, whether it's my work time, but I don't take on my family and kids' time, so I can subtract the guilt effect that I would get, like, oh my god, the kids and Gilles are home and I'm here at the hair salon. But so I take my lunch time, for example, to go get my hair done, and that's my guilty self-care pleasure. And I shouldn't even say guilty, because I feel no guilt whatsoever. And what I say to myself when I do that, when I go get my facial once a month, or when I get my nails done, is you know what? I owe this to the people that I take care of. To be better to them, to take great care of them, I need to feel like I'm taking care of myself as well. So that's, and being graceful is about gratitude. I never forget where I've been and where I come from, because I have to remember that I spent 370 days in hell and how I woke up those mornings and how I came out of that alive and almost, you know, unscathed. So I hope this makes sense. As far as French beauty and skincare secrets, Nicola and Lillian, and actually Lillian was more specific. She said after microneedling treatment, because she knows I microneedle. What I use for skincare, what the French tips, so I was very American in my routine. I used to use La Mer and I used to use La Prairie and the serum of this and that. And I had like a whole skincare routine. And I realized when I came to France that less is more. So I simplified my beauty routine as much as my makeup. And I realized that the less I pounded on my skin, it's like the digestive system. The less you give your skin to process, the better. So I had to make choices like, okay, what type of skin do I have? What does my skin need? And my skin mainly needed to be hydrated. That is my thing. I don't know what yours is, but you have to stop trying to give collagen to your body, for example, and fiber and protein and magnesium and B12. Like, you need to stop. That's too much for your body to process. Your body knows how to get it from natural sources when you eat like a real person. And it's the same with skin. So what my skin was lacking was hydration. And it's something that I wasn't getting from drinking or enough water or food. Or my skin lacks hydration naturally. So I concentrated on skincare and simplified, as opposed to trying to give my skin vitamin C and hyaluronic acid and collagen and this and that. Like, that's too many creams. And my skin was getting overwhelmed and was getting botchy. So I decided and made a very aware decision to give my skin only what it needs, and I simplified my skincare. So now I use Herborian, which is a Korean brand, but that's it's a Korean brand, but that's from France. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a thing in France. But what I like about it is that it's simple. So I use the ginseng line for moisturizing my skin, and I find that it does it so good. And then I get a facial once a month, and so I get all the impurities out. And once in a while, I'll do a mask. Like, there's a charcoal mask that I really like that I've posted a few times. I can't remember the brand name now, but Herborian also has one that's great. And so that's what I'll do. I'll use the Herborian ginseng line for morning, and there's a night cream, and I have an eye cream. So now I like Roden and Field. I just discovered it because my friend Rachel from Guts and Gloss sent it to me. What happened with Rachel is that she was coming to the south of France this summer, and I didn't know her, and she sent me a message on Instagram, and I answered all my messages, and she said, I'm coming with my husband. He's quite sick. He can't really eat everything. Where do you suggest we go eat where he could get real food without affecting his condition? And I sent her a list of restaurants that I love where I knew he could get real food, real healthy food. And I had forgotten that I had sent this message to her, and she ended up coming to the south of France and going to all these places. And then she reached out to me like a few months later and said, you know, I want to send you some products. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so nice, but you need to know that if I don't like them, I won't post them. I'm not an influencer. And she said, no, I'm doing this to thank you for the recommendations. They were great. And Rachel and I became friends, and I got to know her and really admire her. And she's actually going to be coming on the podcast at some point very soon because she's inspiring. But she sent me Roden and Field products, and I really love the Illuminator. I think it's an Illuminator. I have to post it in the show notes because I can't remember the names of products I use. It's terrible. But I love that one. And she sent me as a little gift as well, the eye cream, which I absolutely love. So now I'm doing Erborian on my skin, very simple, just a day cream and a night cream from their ginseng line. And I'm using the Rodan Infields around my eyes. And then I do the facial massage that you guys saw me doing with the machine. And I have posted the link before, but I'll post it again. And I use a Darphin oil, essential oil, which is rose oil, to do that. And I do that like once or twice a week. And that's it. And I realized that simplifying what I do for my skin actually cleared it up completely. And the rest I get from my food. So eating real food, real vegetables, vibrantly green vegetables, vibrant colors, and fruits, real fruits, not juices, not frozen fruit, not canned fruit, has done amazing for my skin. Now, yes, I do microneedle, like Lillian mentioned. I love microneedling. I buy my microneedlers now on Amazon. I used to represent a company that created the whole process here in Monaco that used to do microneedling in their place, and then they started selling it, and now they pulled it out of the market because the needles are quite deep and you need to numb your skin to microneedle. But I'll do more stories on that. Actually, if you go on my Instagram in the highlights, there's a highlight that's called microneedling, and I explain it all. And what that does is it micropunctures your skin with those needles that are a few millimeters long. And the micropunctures is like a micro wound that creates a collagen rush to your epidermal layer to reconstruct wherever you've punctured, and that plumps your skin. So I do it around my lips, I do it around my eyes. I've even gotten rid of a sunspot that I had on my forehead for a while. And what I use with that is an oil that's called Eczemenia oil. And that's very rare. It's literally not on the market. I had gotten it from that lab that I, you know, was a spokesmodel for. And now we are actually developing a beauty product that includes inulin, because we discovered, Susan and I discovered, that inulin was good for the skin, and it was quite well known in France. And so we tried it. We took our Simply Inulin, and Susan used it, I think, with rose water and put it all over her face. And she called me and said, "I feel hydrated." And I tried it, and I had a pimple that day. And I was like, you know what? Let me try and put it with a little bit of, you know, rose water as well, or maybe my herbor. I think I used my Herborian spray that day because I have an Herborian spray, water spray. And I put inulin on the pimple, and the pimple dried out and cleared out in like less than a day. So I started putting inulin under my eyes and around my lips, and I love what it's doing. So now I'm back on the Eczemenia crusade, and we're working on getting first press Eczemenia in combination with inulin that will have some great agents. We're working on all that. We're testing it. We're our own guinea pigs here, to bring it to you guys. And that's what I'm using right now. So I still use Eczemenia oil. And right now I'm really trying the whole inulin thing. We're probably going to add something else in there. I won't tell you what the special ingredient is, but we're trying it right now and we're loving it. So that's it for skincare and microneedling. I hope I answered those questions. Somebody asked me, "Do you recommend taking inulin while breastfeeding? I'm currently 8 weeks postpartum." So here is the thing. I don't recommend taking inulin while breastfeeding, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel that baby's bowel movements are quite a thing, and whatever you eat, whatever your gut is feeling, baby will feel and will end up in the diaper. And that scares me. I would say that if you feel like you're not eating enough fiber because you're repulsed by certain food, like I was postpartum, then talk to your pediatrician about adding inulin. It's pure, it's not gonna hurt your baby, but I'm afraid that because it makes us, the first few weeks as it's working on our gut. It makes us gassy and bloated sometimes. I didn't get it, but for example, Susan got it. A few of you have sent me messages saying, you know what, I was bloated the first 5 days and then it subsided, but it doesn't give diarrhea or it doesn't create dumping like one of my competitors said to shoot down inulin. That's stupid. I spoke extensively to doctors about it when I decided to put inulin forward. It does not cause dumping. It might cause bloating for some. And I would say that the reason why inulin will cause bloating the first few days, you can just lower your dosage at the beginning and work it up, and then it will subside and stop. And then it will stop working wonders on your tummy and make it flat, like a lot of your reviews and a lot of the messages you guys have sent me, is because it's working on your gut. But so I would say, don't do it while you're breastfeeding, unless your pediatrician says, you know what, baby will do fine. But you don't want to cause any of those side effects to your baby, just because that might make big baby uncomfortable. So it wouldn't be bad. It's not going to poison your baby or hurt your baby in any way. It's fiber. But knowing that when you're breastfeeding, whatever you eat, even if you eat a tomato and the acid might, you know, give digestive issues to your baby, I would just, you know, not do it while you're breastfeeding. But again, if you ask your doctor and your doctor says baby can handle it because everything's been great with the baby's digestion, then maybe. I don't want to pronounce myself on it. I personally wouldn't. I think you can wait until you finish breastfeeding and then you can take care of getting your flat tummy. And congratulations, 8 weeks postpartum, new mama. Somebody said, favorite workouts other than the method, of course, or workout tips. So favorite workouts, anything with resistance bands. And the person who asked the question was Daniela C. Ferrari. Favorite workouts, anything with resistance bands that don't involve high density, which means jumping and, you know, like just fast. But anything with resistance that's a slow, deep muscle movement. Swimming is great. Bar is great. And you said other than the method, but I have to say, if you go to Pilates mat, so people that use instructors that use the magic circle, no reformer, and make you work on a mat and go back to Joseph Pilates 40 movements, that's great. That is great, great, great. So that's what I would recommend. And then Angelin said, I know that you drink inulin as a snack, but do you have other healthy snack recommendations, Bet? Yes, absolutely. I don't limit myself to inulin coffee or inulin tea when I want a snack. I have favorite snacks. I love to eat figs, but that's a personal choice. I know a lot of people don't like figs, but I like to mix like figs and some nuts like cashews or macadamia nuts. I really don't like peanuts. I don't think it's good. It affects my skin as well. So a little bit of nuts, a little bit of, you know, fruit, always a fruit. I will always, when I feel hungry, the first sure bet that won't mess with my healthy choices is berries. So I will have a bowl of mixed berries. And then there's one of my favorite that my grandmother used to make for me, which I absolutely love. And it reminds me so much of her, and it's so healthy, and it's two walnuts, cracked and peeled and, you know, all cleaned up, mixed with pomegranate, like just peeled pomegranate. And I add a little bit of brown sugar in that and I eat it. And not only does it remind me of my childhood, but it's also so healthy and so filling and it's great. So I love that as a snack. And it's real food. Ashley Pafko said, I love relationship topics. What do guys find sexy in women? Behavior, attitude, whatever. So, Ashley, that would have been a great question for Gilles, but he's answered it. And I agree with him, and I always ask him, And my daughter Savannah always asks him, so I think I can answer from what I've seen also, because I've experienced doing the right thing to attract men and the wrong thing too. And Ashley also asked how to attract all the honeys, hot men. For me, what's worked is being unapologetically myself. So each time I try to be too poised and not completely myself, and I try to bottle up who I really was and a little bit of my crazy, I definitely didn't attract the right guys. And I was not the right version of myself. So let's say this way. You attract a reflection of who you are at the moment. So if you want to attract someone to your image, considering you love yourself and you should, because you're beautiful and you're amazing and you're an incredible woman, and that's for every woman, you want to be unapologetically yourself, so you can attract that same being in someone else. And you could just, I don't want to do the cliche of the guy's gonna love you for you who you are, but the only way to be a magnet for someone who's deserving of you and complimenting who you are is showing exactly who you are. And don't be afraid, you have to be who you are. And for me, the more I've become myself authentically, whether it is no longer apologizing for my mistakes or who I am, or, you know, my crazy, my cursing, the fact that I didn't want to be a religious Jew anymore, or whatever it was, I got judged for it by the community I was in, or by my ex-husband, because he was very religious, Jewish religious, and I don't want to do that anymore. I kind of was like, fuck everybody, I don't give a shit. Fuck you all, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. And the minute I started to do that, appeared my perfect match, who's Gilles. So be unapologetically yourself. And also, just don't try so hard. Like, removing the makeup for me, starting to wear more flats, and, you know, being more relaxed about what I look like, attracted the right person. And so I would say, embrace it, wear your flats, it's sexy, wear less makeup, it's sexy, pull your hair back, it's very sexy. And also, what I got from Gilles, and I've noticed myself, men like simple. So we wear a lot of prints and a lot of jewelry and a lot of sparkles and sequins. We wear that for other women. We wear the contouring on our faces for other women, because the Kardashian did, and, you know, it's all the trend. Men don't like the fucking contouring. They don't want your fake fucking cheekbones. They want your face, and they love your face. So I would say, love yourself as much as men do. And it's the same with, they don't want your waist as skinny as it is when you Photoshop it, when girls Photoshop it to an unhealthy skinny. They like us looking like we're healthy. No guy is attracted to a girl that looks like she needs to be eating a sandwich. So that's what I think. And that's what's worked for me. Heather Wolf said, how do you eat healthy when you go out to eat at restaurants? Well, Heather, I eat healthy all the time. Restaurants are the healthiest place for me to eat, because I eat meat, fish, seafood, cheese. So I get my proteins, my vegetables. And if I want pasta, it can be very healthy to eat pasta. I eat it as an appetizer. I try to gravitate towards real Italian restaurants when we go out and I want pasta, because fresh pasta will have less of an impact on the digestive system than boxed pasta. And I'll have pasta as an appetizer, so it's kind of like, you know, a treat. And I'll have a half a portion, which I will share with my husband. And then I will have my protein and my vegetables as, you know, my plat de résistance, which is my main course. And so I eat healthy eating healthy is about eating what my body wants. So when I go to the restaurant, I really eat what I want. And usually looking at it that way, it doesn't mean that I want a burger. I rarely do. And if I do want a burger, then I'll eat a burger, but I'll make sure that I think of eating healthy. Like, how do I nourish my skin? How do I nourish my hair growth? How do I nourish my body? And that's knowing that I need an amount of fiber for my vegetables and antioxidants for my fruits, and I need an amount of protein from my meat, my lactose, my cheese, from my fish. And knowing that, being programmed to know, okay, my body needs, rather than diet, like what can I deduct from my diet? My body needs the nutrients. I have to give my body some nutrients. So even if I want a burger, which is not very nutritious, I'm gonna say, okay, I'll have a half a burger, but I need to give nutrients to my body. So let me try with that. And on that note, this is something I have to talk about. Eating salads, mixed salads with the chicken in it and the broccoli and everything in it that is healthy. Let's go back to the leptin hormone on that. If I wanted to eat a fucking salad, you heard me say I would be a cow if I wanted to fucking chew on salad as a meal. It's very true because, for me, it's very true because your leptin hormone, your satiation hormone, is absolutely not titillated by a plastic bowl of salad. Even though you have your protein, you have all your fiber, all the vegetables, and you put very little dressing in it, nutrition-wise, on the books, it's excellent. But hormone-wise, sensors, messages going to your neurons, it's actually terrible because it's not appealing. Your body is not realizing what you're shoving in it that way. So I'll give you a test that you can try at home. That bowl of mixed salads with all of those amazing nutrients that you think are healthy for you, but at the end of the day, you're making your hormones very unhappy and you'll be hungry after 2 hours, even though there was all that good shit in there. Try this. One day, eat the whole salad in your ugly plastic bowl with your plastic fork and knife, so un-French and disgusting. And the next day, take a beautiful plate, a white, gorgeous plate, porcelain plate or china, whatever, and take that salad apart. Put all the broccolis together, all the chicken next to it. Take everything separately from that plastic bowl of yours and separate every single ingredient and set it in a plate in a beautiful setup, something pleasurable to look at, and eat it. I bet you will feel very satiated, very happy, and very French. So that's a great test for you. And that's why I say that I think salad makes people fat, because as much as it's nutritious and it should make you feel satiated, your leptin hormone does not respond well to that. Because again, you're amputating yourself of the pleasure of the table and le plaisir de la table, which is the pleasure of the table. So in a more French manner, separate all of these ingredients and set them up beautifully on a beautiful porcelain plate and eat with, you know, forks and knives that are metal, not plastic. The experience hormonally, neurologically, are much better. So the whole depression that comes from being on a diet and eating salad every day kind of goes away. That's why a lot of people that eat salads every day feel that they're gaining weight or they're not losing weight. This is the reason why. You're actually not doing any good for your leptin, your satiation hormone. So your ghrelin hormone, your hunger hormone, goes into overdrive, and that makes your cortisol rise like crazy, and that creates the insulin resistance that stores fat around your midsection. So that's the hormonal area of your body. Usually that's where you start feeling swollen up and, you know, retaining fat and water. Also like inner thighs, like, you know. So something to think about, to be more French in that sense. And then today I went to lunch with my mama, who's in town from Miami, and I asked her to show me so I could videotape her super chic and classy self. Again, how we should be sitting at the table to be skinny, chic, little bitches. I didn't say little bitches, but I could. She's kind of cool. She's become cool over time, so now I can say things like that and she laughs. And she always said, sit at the tip of your chair. Don't slouch back. Put your forearms on the table. Even if you're eating soup, so you only need a spoon, make sure both of your forearms are on the table so your shoulders are leveled. You're sitting at the tip of your chair, and at no time do you bend down to reach your food. Your food should always come and reach you. And that actually makes your digestion so much easier, smoother, straighter to the point, and that will keep you from having that insulin resistance, fat storage around your midsection. So yeah, à la française, very, very chic, can actually make you skinny. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I know that it wasn't as fun as having Gilles and all of his ex-sexcapade stories, and his amazing tips. He wasn't natural at podcasting for sure. We'll have him back on. Don't forget to leave me your comments, feedback, constructive criticism. I know some of you have left some reviews. I spoke about it at the beginning of this podcast. Please leave a review, whatever it is. I can handle it. And of course, we've spoken about inulin. You know you can get it on the website. The link is always in the show notes. I want to let you know, and I will be making a story about that. We have tried to keep shipping to the United States as low cost as possible. So right now, the only way that we can ship to you and that we've been shipping to you is through this system that we have, which is low cost and, you know, keeps inulin affordable. And that's how we want to keep it. So if you are looking to have inulin for Christmas, we won't be able to guarantee Christmas deliveries if you order, let's say, 7 days before. So if you're looking to get inulin for Christmas to give as a gift, I would say to go on the website right now. And what we will do for Christmas delivery in the next few days, we will create a 5% coupon code that I will give you on my stories. And that will be for your Christmas shopping, because we know that becomes pricey and we want to make things easier for you. You can work out with me on the virtual platform. I will post a link on the show notes as well. You know you have the opportunity of getting our reformer stick, but if you aren't sure you want to jump right in and go for the cost of our original reformer stick, we have an alternative reformer stick that is lower cost, and that will do the job for a trial period. And when I say a trial period, it is not a free trial. Although we have some free workouts available for you, which are flash workouts, which you could do without equipment and a towel to see what the method is all about and feel the burn in your core, your butt, your arms, and your legs. And most importantly, feel the clarity and the control in your mind. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I enjoy all of the messages you guys send me. I always answer my messages on Instagram if you have any questions. One little reminder for my virtual platform members. Some of you have said that they needed a little bit of guidance and they've sent me messages. You need to know, when you are on the virtual platform and you are a member, you have the opportunity of taking a video of your performance as you're doing the workout and send this video to myself and my team, and we can send you some corrections and constructive comments to help you perform better with incredible and safe spinal alignment. Have the best weekend since it is Friday, and big kisses, bisous from beautiful Monaco. Bye everyone.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.